Shalom. We're in Piska Kav Zayin, 27, of the second chapter of Rav Kook's commentary on the Agarata in Masachet Shabbat. And we'll go quickly through the Gemara. We read it already before, but now Rav Kook is going to comment on the four different types of benefits that we get from the mitzvah of Pe'ah. Like we discussed last time, the mitzvot have a lot of different benefits. As Rav Kook explained, you have to learn all of the benefits. All of them are partial. And in order to get the whole picture, and in certain generations you have different benefits that are more central, and that's why it's important to learn all of them. And now we're going to focus on the four different types of benefits. Why does the Torah, notice we're talking the Torah, not the rabbis, we're not talking about a rabbinical decree where it's 100% logical. A lot of things in the Torah are above man's logic. Nevertheless, we're going to talk about the four logical benefits of why God in the Torah told us to leave the Pe'ah, the corner for the poor people, dafka at the corner of the field, not in the middle, not two-thirds in, etc. Let's go through the Gemara again. Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon, I think we mentioned Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who throughout the Zohar and throughout the Shas, he holds Shedorshin Taimed Dekra, that we do learn out the reason or the benefit from the mitzvot. Not only is it legitimate, but it's mandatory. Not only is it mandatory, but according to his opinion, there are halachic ramifications for the different benefits for the mitzvot. There are four reasons why the Torah tells us to leave the corner for the poor people in the corner, in one of the four corners. We'll discuss them one by one after the sentence. Mipnei gezel aniim, mipnei bitul aniim, mipnei achshat, u'mishum bal tchaleh. The Gemara explains one by one. Mipnei gezel aniim. Why does the Torah say you have to leave it in the corner of the field? Shelo yir'e bala bayit sha'apnu yavi omar lekrovo ani hareza peya. So as not to steal from the poor people, that a person can make a coalition, a knunya, with his friend, the poor person, and say, listen, at 2:30 a.m., meet me at this and this corner. And that way, none of the other poor people can collect. So that's one reason. Umipnei bitul aniyim, shelo yu aniyim yoshvin umishamrin, achshav meneach balabayit peya. Second reason, so that the poor people shouldn't waste their time, that they shouldn't have to sit around and wait and see, maybe today he'll leave the corner, maybe tomorrow he'll leave the corner. No, we know that it's going to be on one of the corners of the fields. Number three, mipnei achshad, because of what other people might think. Shelo yu ovrim v'shavim omrim tavo me'ira al adam shelo yineach pe'ah b'sadeo. That the people who are passing by his field shouldn't say, the curse will come upon this person that he didn't leave a corner of his field, right? The corner is there for everyone to see. And even if you don't see it, so you know very well it might be on the other side. Okay, but you know that, yeah.
So the one that I don't understand is the bitul aniyim. Since the mitzvah is on place and not on time, so how are we? In other words, it's the place in the field you have to leave, not a particular time that you have to leave it. How does that help with bitul aniyim? They could still be waiting and waiting and waiting to finally leave it. There's no.
Okay, the truth is there is a reaping season. Or is it? It is limited.
That's true anyway. I mean, that depends on the weather, not on the
yeah,
mitzvah.
But they know to look. In there are only four places they have to look. They don't have to go up and down the fields. Imagine if a guy has a field is a kilometer long. He has to go up and down the fields thinking, oh, maybe the fourth row from the south, that is where he's going to leave it. You only have to check four places. Not only that, my educated guess is that a person would probably leave the same corner every year. That he knows that's good. You know, he knows not to work there. His children know not to work there, and also the poor people know.
Wouldn't it be convenient on a path somewhere that people would be easy to get to? As a field,
right?
And the edge of the field could be.
Take a coin to think of that. You know, a coin who are used to being right on the outskirts of the cemetery. Yeah, that you need a path to get there. Yeah. And the fourth reason, umishum bal techale, because of the prohibition that you're not allowed to reap the whole field without leaving some for the poor people. As the Gemara, atu chulu lav mishum bal techale ninu, aren't all the reasons that we mentioned, the whole mitzvah is because of bal techale. This is one of the four benefits. What kind of benefit is it? This is the very mitzvah. Amar Rava mipnei haramain, so that the cheaters, the liars, won't deceive people. Rashi says, ha'ovrim alot chalev omrim kvar hinachnua. Oh, I left it on the other side. I left it somewhere else. There are only four places. And by the way, the point that we mentioned is going to come up. Rav Kook deals, there's something very interesting here. Because most of the mitzvot, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you exactly what to give. Or man totally himself decides what to give. For example, a bechor, the firstborn, that's objective. The bikurim, your first fruit, that's objective. On the other hand, truma, you decide what you want to tithe to give to the kohen. Ma'aser, you decide what to give. Here, there's an interesting partnership that on the one hand, God is telling you that it has to be on one of the corners, but you can decide which of the corners to dedicate. Right? It's a interesting type of mitzvah.
Okay,
that's a midoraita elu dvarim shelem shiur hapeya, right? That how much to leave, right? That's up to man. Yafe. Okay, yesod hapeya yesh la gamken oto koach haroshem shetzarich klal hatzdaka yisraelit lasot benefesh. The basis of the mitzvah of peya is a good example to teach us how the tzedakah Yisraelit, how the Israeli, the Jewish picture of tzedakah, what it does for the soul, how it makes us better people, even to go so far as to the details of where to leave the portion for the poor people. She'en al tzedakah midah shel chesed v'yitron hanedivut enoshit. The first point is when we talk about tzedakah, tzedakah is from the word tzedek. It is justice. And just like we have an obligation to give a certain percent of our earnings to the Kohen, to the Levi, to the poor person, don't go patting yourself on the back saying, hey, a good person I am, how generous I am, how altruistic I am. Judaism sees tzedakah not as charity, but as justice. Ki im hakara amuka shichova mamash. This is mamash, an obligation. Just like there's an obligation to put on tefillin, just like there's an obligation on Rosh Hashanah to hear the shofar, so too there is an obligation to leave part of your field for the poor people. And that's an obligation, it's not even yours. And here, and this is where Rav Kook is going, there's an interesting mix. On the one hand, the Torah is telling us, it's not even yours, right? On the other hand, like we're going to see, you can decide which of the corners to, not only you can, you have to decide. There is this aspect of nedivut, of volunteering. So it's an interesting mixture of obligation and volunteering. Okay, in the meantime, we're talking about the obligation. And here, the more creative people here already see that Rav Kook is talking here about which of the four? Gezel aniyim. Right? That one of the four reasons that we saw why you have to leave the pe'ah in the corner and not just anywhere you feel like it is so as not to steal from the aniyim. What does it mean to steal from the aniyim? Chabibi, it's not yours. Right? It may be within your fence, but it's not yours. It belongs to him. Okay, and there is that aspect. Get it into your head. It's not yours.
If I could designate it in the middle of my field, the ani would be bashful or would be afraid to go dropping around in my field to do
that's there are four different reasons. We'll get to the different reasons. Okay. Again, so it's chuva mamash. V'sheyesh teuda mleah she'aniim memalim u'poalim ba'olam. There, the poor people fill an important role in the world. Right? People have a tendency to think, you know, Aristotle writes that there are the small percentage who run the world, and the rest are what they call in Hollywood the cast of extras, you know, right? Or like Truman, right? There's one true man, and everyone else around me is, you know, he's just extras.
He's the last president who was any good.
And Judaism says that it is important that there are poor people. Vaniyut einara kefsed le'enoshiyut, kim gam ken midat tova v'rabat toelet. And here it's interesting. Rav Kook is clearly relating to the pasuk ki lo yechdal evyon mikerev haaretz, that apparently even in Yemot HaMashiach, even in the Messianic era, when the world is ideal, there are still going to be poor people because it's good for there to be poor people. There's a famous piska in the Zohar which says it beautifully. The world, most of the world thinks that we put the tefillin on like this because that's the shape of our arm. Well, the truth is the exact opposite. Our arm was shaped by God to fit into the tefillin. Right? Istakel boraito bare alma, the Torah preceded the physical world. Similarly, most people make the mistake to think that we give tzedakah because there are poor people. While the truth is the opposite, there are poor people so that we can give tzedakah.
Try to tell them to the poor person. I mean, it's very nice. You read it, says it to me, that tova, that's, you know, whatever, but you tell us the poor guy.
Right, so we're not, Rav Kook isn't dealing here with all of understanding all of the different aspects and axes of the world. There are a lot of different axes. There's reward, there's punishment, there's what happened in previous generations, Gilgul Neshamot, there's so many different things, you know, that we don't know, that we don't see the benefits also in the world to come, the ups and downs, someone has money today, he won't have tomorrow, and vice versa. But what we are talking about is, and that's really the topic here, that there is a need in the world for poor people, and for wealthy people, and for middle-class people, and everyone plays an equally important role. Yeah.
And furthermore, it seems to me, to answer Ernest's question, that lest we despair of ever eliminating or improving the levels of poverty, we can just look at the last, say, 100 years and see that poverty is a relative rather than an absolute. In other words, poor people today in Israel and in most Western countries aren't living the way that poor people lived 100 years ago.
Right.
They're poor relative to the rich, but the hunger doesn't really exist in the Western world today in the way that it existed 100 years ago.
Right.
And homelessness doesn't exist the way that it existed 100 years ago.
Yeah. I remember my one of my daughters once, she must have heard this on the radio one time. She didn't like what we were serving for supper, and she said to my wife, "You want me to go to sleep hungry?" Because you have Cheerios instead of cornflakes.
My question is, when political leaders say they're going to abolish poverty, isn't that a kind of an arrogance against the divine plan that could end up backfiring with things getting even worse, and you could understand why some things are happening today?
It sounds like in general it's not a smart thing to run on a political platform promising that you're going to eliminate poverty, because again, nobody's going to eliminate poverty. And it's true, like we like.
Peace in the Middle East is also.
Yeah. And like we see here, it's good. It's good that there are poor people. You know, like Gershon said, you know, well, maybe let's have a Torah system. We'll give everyone an opportunity to be one of them.
Like
yeah. But, you know, if somebody has to fill these roles, but again, that's not our topic. You know, who is decided and how is decided to fill the role? Maybe we'll just mention Derech Agav, something that we've mentioned several times. The Rambam in the Guide for the Perplexed says that most of the bad in the world is bad that man brings upon himself. Either bad that man does to each other or that man does to himself. And poverty is a good example, and it is connected with what we're saying, that there is enough food in the world today. The problem is how to spread it out and to make sure that everyone can get it. But when companies want to bring their produce or their oil from here to there, they do it. And we have to get to that point where people will want to give their produce also to Biafra, you know, and all the third world countries, and that way eventually it will be done, right? But even then, like Avi said, lo yechdal avyonu mebekarvar, is relative. There still will always be the haves and have lesses, I guess it would be better to say.
Biafra is an anachronism. I mean, that was a...
Okay.
50 years ago.
Okay. Alken. Okay. So what we've seen now is that tzedakah is something which is very beneficial also for the giver and also for the receiver. Right? We usually think of it from the terms of the receiver. Tis better to give than to receive. Alken. Tzarich lahakir ta yishtamtut min tzedakah betor gezel mishpat. Right? If somebody doesn't give tzedakah, he's not staying at zero. Okay, I didn't do a plus. The opposite. He is going down to minus. Because there is no such thing as not giving tzedakah. If you're not giving tzedakah, it's wrong. Because it is something obligatory. Avo yitaron yesh gam ken shatzedakah tiye novat. Here, Rav Kook, in his classic form, is showing us, on the other hand, there is an advantage of that feeling of volunteerism. It's good to feel that you're volunteering. Don't just look at tzedakah as a mishpat, as something that you have to do, like you have to put on tefillin, you have to hear a shofar. That's not good enough. מה שאינו נמצא באותו נובע מרגע של כוח עוז משפט. רגע שהנדיבות, right, if we just do it because God said so and we have to, you know, make a check, you don't feel better. Your emotion, your connection with the poor person, it's not coming out.
I hope you don't have to do that in the army too.
רגע שהנדיבות פועל על ליבו של אדם, לשלוח רעיונותיו לחדור אל מצבו של העני הנצרח והנדקע. There is an obligation to also, not only to look at tzedakah as an obligation, but to put yourself in the shoes of the needy, of the poor person. And that will come out of the fact that you do it voluntarily, that you are giving it. Not that it's not yours to give, that was the previous point, but yes, it is yours to give. And here Rav Kook is beginning to touch on that interesting partnership. And by the way, I don't know if you realize that it's an ingenious, for someone who learns Rav Kook, it's so typical that he would deal with a question like this. I've never seen anybody deal with the question of the uniqueness of a mitzvah that is, on the one hand, God tells you it has to be a corner, but it's you that gets to choose the corner. It's a very interesting partnership.
Nobody talks about
I learned never to say never. So I don't know. I don't remember. Chutz mi ma'amad atzmo v'chovato. Don't just think of myself and me writing the check and me fulfilling, how much more do I have to give till I get my 10% by December 31st or the end of the fiscal year? But to really think of it as altruistic, that you're giving. Not, and this is something that we've seen before. We saw this like, must be 3 years ago already. It's good to read just one sentence inside. In Orot HaKodesh, in the volume 3, called Musar HaKodesh, Rav Kook has a beautiful, beautiful chidush. Avat HaBriyot Mimakor HaChesed. A person should love people from the source of love, from the source of goodness. Mimakor HaChesed Tzricha Avat HaBriyot Litparetz. Lo b'tor chok mitzuveh. Ki az te'abed chelka yoter barur mizohara. Ki b'tor tnua nafshit pnimit aza. Exactly what Rav Kook is saying here. A person's goodness should burst forth, should gush forth from his natural godliness. Not because God commanded me to do so. And this is very significant. This is very different, at least to some of the teachers that I had. In the Haredi, at least in the American Gisha, in the art scroll Gisha, if you will, I remember a teacher told us that a person should give 2 coins. I don't know what the source was, because really the Shla talks about giving 3 coins. But the person who gives 2 coins. The first coin you give because of your conscience. It's hard to see a poor person. The second coin you give because God says so. Inferring, this is what my teacher told me, that the second coin is the real tzedakah. And what Rav Kook is saying is that
the third coin is the coin that you love God to do His, because you love to do His commandment per se.
But it's not, again, the main point here isn't because you love Mr. God. The main point is something that we've seen very often in Rav Kook, because you want to be godly. You love Him so much that you want to be godly. You want to reveal. You want to emulate Him. Right. Imitati Odei.
Yeah,
right? It's Selim Elokim, to copy God. Okay? But here, again, you could say that is the third aspect. Right? But don't make the mistake and think that we do mitzvot because God told us to. That is very minimal. That's very childish. And that is a low form compared to the higher form that I want to do the mitzvot because it's good. Or in the words of the Rambam, lasot et hatov biglal, lasot et haemet biglal shehu emet. To do truth because it's truth. Right? I identify with the mitzvot very much.
That error in interpreting Judaism is that may be a direct line to the Christian point of view, saying that now we're grown up and we don't have to do things because God said so.
Uh-huh. So they end up not doing them.
And the error comes from the misinterpretation. Mm-hmm. Just like the Talmud, the Tzadok and Baitos, who misinterpreted Al Tukavadim Hamishashim as a Rabbah Menat the Kabir Pras.
Uh-huh.
The same line goes there. It leads to minut. It leads to heresy.
Yep. Aval regesh hamishpat alo lo yitpashet lahala migvul atzmiuto shel hanoten. Here, by the way, you probably noticed, Rav Kook is referring not to the gezel aniyim. That was the first point. That the first reason why we leave the peyah in the corner of the field is to make sure to stress the idea that it doesn't belong to us, right? That it really belongs to the ani, and that if I don't do it, it's like stealing from him. Now we're talking about the bitul aniim, to think of the poor person as a person, that he has needs, And he has a watch. And for him, time is valuable as well. And he has a lot of things on his mind. Maybe he doesn't have a car and has to walk by foot. And in other words, this is the other side of the coin, of being mitnadev, that idea of being considerate. Yes, when you give tzedakah, to do it out of consideration. Hamitametz latzet yedei chovato asher hutla alav. Right, as opposed to the mishpat, avo regesh mishpat lo loit pashet la migvul as mitu ozonoten. If a person is just thinking of tzedakah as just as a law that he has to do, then he'll do it, make a check, and get it over with. Al kein lumata yitaron sheish bechol zot beetzem haregesh hatov shel hayedia sheyesod hatzedakah hu inyan mishpati. Just like, on the one hand, it is true that we should look at tzedakah as justice, as something that you have to do. Tzarich adam gam ken l'roshem. We also need that internal softening, to soften ourselves. Shemikom akom eino yotza michlal malat hanedivut. Because there is this aspect of giving, of being altruistic. Shirak az yatim litzura tachlito amishpatit, biyot lo gam ken tzura nedivut, besimo tachlito lidog l'matzav aniya mekabel. That you take into account the needs of the poor person. Again, you don't want to waste his time. He's a person too. V'lo rak liyitziyat chovato betor mishpat, kin yitkabtzu bashnei yitronot. Both of these seemingly contradicting points of tzedakah, both are very important and true and beneficial. And again, like we saw last time, you have to learn all four benefits. Can you imagine just learning the first aspect without the second? Just learning that tzedakah is justice without being voluntary, or voluntary without being justice. You can't have one without the other. And that's what we saw last time. You have to learn all of the different aspects of the Tamei HaMitzvot. And this is classic Rav Kook. On the one hand, on the other hand, and both are true. Right? Chesed and Gvura and Tiferet, which mixes the two.
Would Rav Kook here bring an interpretation for the actual word, the essence, the idea of Ani? Why don't Kodesh Baruch Hu use the word Ani to explain the type of giving volunteerism? Where would it come from the word to answer? Would it be like the word
lano?
Where does the word ani come from?
That's a good question. The way I always understood is from the word inui. Right? Inui is like when ta'anit is a fast, or ta'anuit nafshotechem en Yom Kippur, that you have to prohibit yourself, withhold from five prohibitions. Usually it's referring to, again, that the person doesn't have money, that he is suffering, he's afflicted.
You said that the world, the anim, put there in order for us to learn, to give
uh-huh. So maybe it's an answer. It's definitely a possibility. I never saw that anywhere, but it's like we saw a couple of weeks ago, Rav Kook says, if something makes sense, then it's right. At least partially right. Yeah.
So maybe the answer, might be in the parashat Cheta Egel, where it says lo kol anot gura, lo kol anot halusha, kol anot ani shomea.
Yeah.
When he says, when Yeshua says kol machan, kol milchama b'machane, it's not an answer to anything. It's a cry of pain. It looks like people are having a festival, but they're really having pain, and that was the drug culture of the 60s.
Let's go on. It's possible.
I'm sorry.
It's possible.
It might be.
Okay. Vine, shtei ele hakarot meshachlalot et hanetiyah hapnimit hatova benefesh betachlita echsher. Both of these aspects, the aspect that justice is true and an obligation, and on the other hand, the ideal of voluntarism, that both of them together, they perfect us inwardly. They perfect us, they improve us in our inner leanings. Hatova benefesh betachlita echsher. Va'az yesh lachush lemivga acher. But then we have to start taking into account a third problem. Shekol zman she'adam eino malei mikoach hatzedek. As long as a person hasn't totally achieved the ideal of true justice, tzedek, tzedakah, justice, hu margish shebekoach nedivuto tzarich litarev eze koach zar latzei idei abriyot. There is this aspect that a person may feel that he has to take into account what others will think. Right? There's a known aspect of tzedakah, whether it be a person who wants the building named after him, or he wants his name on the Sefer Torah, or he wants his name on a plaque. And it's important for him that others should know that he gives. And here, you'll see Rav Kook at his best. That is your first thought. But as we'll see, there is, if God created man in a way that he wants his name on a plaque, and that kavod and what others will think or what others will say will help bring out the best in me, there's a positive aspect to that as well. Don't put it down too quickly.
So why do you see that from the fact that he needs to tell
you basically? No, he hasn't said it. I'm just
okay.
Introduction. Regesh hakavod v'abusha, the idea of getting honor, for those who give tzedakah, busha, embarrassment, for those who don't give tzedakah, afu osem ma'asav besignon ze. This also has its role. That, in the words of Chazal, mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. Right, that's in the first, most basic, elementary level. A person, the most important thing is to do good. Even if you're not doing it 100% for the right reasons. You know what? Nobody does anything 100% for the right reasons. Nothing is 100%. You're not perfect. There's always a side aspect. And if not in this world, you want to get a share in the world to come. And man cannot be 100% altruistic. And part of that is because God is so altruistic. God is so altruistic that he made us in a way that we always are going to benefit. That's part of his altruism, that we can't be totally altruistic. Sheregesh habusha v'achavod mishtachlel al yado. Aval kasher yitromem b'miluo el etzad ha-gavoa shebama'arechet ha-musar. As a person goes up and advances in his midot, in his moral traits, as yuchal ashlich me'alav chovot ha'chevra chitzonim. A person might think that, I don't have to deal with these mortals anymore, all of these people who just give money because they want their names on plaques and buildings. I'm past that stage.
You explain Tamke Eitz Ketav HaPri, the problem of Tamke Eitz Ketav.
B'ma shenogea litzurat tzidkato umusar nedivuto. וזה אומנם יגרום להחליש כוח הבושה ורגש הכבוד גם כן באותם שמאוד הם נצרכים לזה. First of all, even if say that you've already passed that stage, you don't need the covenant anymore. 95% of the other people still do. Don't put down giving mishaberachs and giving, having people having their name in the lights, because most people still need that. And you are part of a nation. You're part of a society. You don't live in a vacuum. And this is something that we're going to see even more next week, that just like the poor need the rich, we already saw that the rich need the poor, the idealistic also need the masses, and the masses need the idealistic. Just another example of this, in Orot HaKodesh, Rav Kook writes about how it's so important for the geniuses to be in touch with the masses. Because the masses, you remember we learned this about 3 years ago, the masses are much healthier regarding emunah and musar. Right? There's a healthy belief, a healthy faith, a healthy religiosity that's found in the masses. That sometimes intelligentsia, dafka because they're intelligent, they lose that natural belief. Right? They come up with excuses, they see things upside down. The same thing when it comes to musar. The masses have a natural goodness. That they smell that something's wrong, and I mentioned this when, without getting off the topic, just after Yigal Amir killed Yitzhak Rabin, and the masses turned against. In other words, obviously they didn't have to turn against the religious or the national religious or the right wing, or but there was a massive something's wrong here. Right? There's the masses saw that a Jew doesn't kill a Jew, and for sure you don't kill a Jewish elected prime minister, even if you think that you're right. And these are two examples where Rav Kook even stresses that is not only talking about the intelligentsia in the universities, also within the yeshiva world, Rav Kook writes there, the rabbis would be good to stay always in contact with the masses. Because just like the masses need the leaders and the intelligentsia, for they see things that the masses don't see, there are also a lot of things that the masses davka do see, that the intelligentsia, sometimes because they're removed from the normal world, they don't see. The same thing, that there is a need to, and we'll talk about this more next week, the need to stay in contact with the masses who still need those ulterior motives to give tzedakah. And here, you could already see the Rav Kook is starting to deal with the third aspect, the third reason of that we leave the corner of the field as peah, because of chshad, because of what others may say. And that even though our parents told us, you know, who cares what others say? You know, if everyone tell you jump off the roof, you would jump off the roof, right? And obviously that is true, right? Kol mishana yado al tachtona. If somebody differs from the masses, you know, he has to check out, make sure that he has a good reason. On the other hand, yeah, there's the other hand. We'll talk about that next week.